Now, we're going to have a young lady share her thoughts with us. And she had shared it with Sunday church, and everybody liked it, but I wasn't there, didn't get to hear it. And I was in hopes I'd get to hear it. And now she's going to share it with us tonight. And this is our Penny. Woo!
Hello, everybody. How are you? So I'm going to start with what happened after that Sunday, August 27th, when I had the Monarch Butterfly talk. And when I got home that day, there were a lot of butterfly eggs on my milkweed. While I was in here talking about the butterflies, this was like a couple of days after it had rained, right? We had like rain, which is very rare here. It's like, wow, it's not like, it was like raining out. So like right after, this female monarch butterfly like laid like 30 some odd eggs. And I brought some. So while I'm going to have my talk, I'm going to pass these around. These are some of my babies. There's five of them here. And they're now nine-day-old monarch butterfly caterpillars. So I'm going to just pass them around. And it's interesting because what we learn is when they're on the plants or they're in a container or in a tent with a plant, the second you open up the container or move a plant, they freeze. And so, like maybe she won't notice that I'm here. Because you'd be looking in and they're munching, eat, and then freeze. So if you want to look at them, if you have a phobia about them, you know, they're little buggers here. They're cute. They're adorable. I love them. So thank you. So there is, the top is already open, so you can just kind of peek in and pass it on, which is, there's five of them in there. And so now I have... 25 have survived, and I had to bring the nursery inside. I'll tell you about that in my story. And I'm having Denise, who comes to church, and a friend of hers. They got inspired by my talk, and they're going to come over tomorrow night. And Denise actually took some of my caterpillars that I had then. She had four of them, and one's a chrysalis, almost to be gone. So they're going to come by tomorrow and take a few, because they are ravenous eaters. When they get this big, they're getting out real big. So anyway, so this is, So still, as I, after this talk, Leslie even mentioned at dinner, Black Rock in Maui. I had never heard of Black Rock in Maui, and I thought, oh, wow, I really would like to go there, because anybody, if you've heard of Dr. Wayne Dyer, had recently... Louise Hayes had passed on his two-year anniversary of his crossing. And so in honor of him, they have, they probably still have it available now. They have a two-hour KPBS special, and they said that like a half-hour segment of that is his story on monarch butterflies. And part of what he said, and so it was like a half hour, and he talks about being on Maui on Black Rock, and because he was writing a portion in his book, and forgive me if I'm paraphrasing or if I get it wrong, but you'll get the gist of it. But he was writing a story about his, and part of the chapter was on his friend Jack, who was all about monarch butterflies, and so he knew everything about monarch butterflies, but he had gotten cancer and he died. And so he was on the beach at Black Rock, and he was writing the chapter, and all of a sudden a monarch butterfly came and landed right next to him, and he didn't even know that monarch butterflies were on Maui. And so he went up to grab it, and it flew away. And then it went up, and it circled, and it came back, and it landed on his finger, and it stayed on his finger all afternoon. Yeah. And so he had this incredible... fun story. So if you get a chance to see that, I mean, these are all these little coincidences. It's or synchronicities, I'll say. I'll call it synchronicity, you know, because people get hung up on the word coincidence these days. So anyway, these are signs from spirit a lot of times. I mean, most everybody has, at least in this room, might have, my husband wouldn't, but most people here would have a story, a spiritual story on a butterfly. And, you know, Mimi, right? Your friend Mimi, every time she sees a butterfly, it's Mimi. And so they're actually, they're God, for me, actually, I see them as God using them as messengers from spirit. And then, so have you ever experienced any personal transformations in your lifetime? You know, and perhaps we are similar, more similar to a butterfly than we could ever imagine, or what we ever thought of before. And I've always thought we live many lifetimes in one lifetime. And monarch butterflies molt 4 times before their final chrysalis stage, which is their final molt, and then they turn into the butterfly. Now, if you look on that little container, look, if you look on the side, you kind of see a little, it's part of their molting. You can see the molt. So, because they just go from an egg, and then it's almost like every time they molt, it's like they double in size. It's like, and then they eat everything inside. Only milkweed, though. And so I was recently inspired by some fourth graders. And now this was like in May, just this past May. And fourth or fifth graders. And they were raising monarch butterflies in their classroom. And as a matter of fact, it was over at Riverview Elementary. And we started up again. And I was telling this little boy, he's fifth grade now, because we were in his mom's classroom. I said, you got to tell your mom that I have now released my 95th monarch butterfly. So she's really inspired me. So, and did you know that about 90% of the monarch population is gone, and that they are on the endangered species list? So, and after about the 100th caterpillar died in my natural environment when I started to do them, in my backyard, outside, mostly due to the flies. The flies go in and they lay their eggs in these little creatures. Like if they're that big in the backyard, in my backyard, they go in and lay the eggs, you know. And then by the time they eat all the milkweed, go into their J formation, you're ready to see this chrysalis, and two strings come down and this little pellet comes out, and then this little maggot is coming out of there. And it's like, you know, and then you have, I mean, especially since you buy all this milkweed and they eat it all. And then, so it's like, the first generation was about 100 caterpillars. I saw, like, most of them died that way with the flies, you know? So it's like, and as my little daughter comes in, Mom, no wonder they're going extinct. They all die, you know, before they become a butterfly. And it's, you know, and it's so every time I see a monarch butterfly, I think it's a miracle baby. I really do, because, I mean, they really, in the wild, they have a 95% survival rate in the wild. Naturally, in my backyard, it's 0%, you know. But so when you do take the nurse, I mean, because you have the flies, you have the spiders, you have the lizards, you have, the birds, you have the, and then the pesticides. Oh, yeah, nighttime critters come. I had these two chrysalises formed outside, and I'm, like, watching them, and, you know, and then I think, oh, okay, they're okay down there, and it's like the next day, they're gone. Just gone. And so, because the nighttime critters come out, you know, I mean, God only knows, possums, you know, skunks, whatever looks for stuff to eat like that, I guess. But, you know, who knows, and, So before I started raising them, every time I would see a monarch butterfly, the monarch butterfly to me meant say hello to Cliff. Cliff is Mary G's husband. She's back east taking care of her mom right now. And so when we would go into her yard, she'd always point out these beautiful, you know, seafoam green chrysalises with gold on them and, you know, just point them out here and there in her yard. And she never gave it a thought, but she just, oh, look at another Christmas, you know. And so then after Cliff had passed away, every time we see a, you know, she or I would see a monarch butterfly, it would be like, hi, Cliff. How are you? Hi, Cliff. So it was pretty neat. And so, and it was just like, hello, I'm always nearby. And so that was like a nice sign from spirit. I'm sure you might have signs from spirit from somebody. If yellow butterflies to me are a hello from Ray. Ray was Chief Yellow Cloud. And so every time I see a yellow butterfly, that's what I'm like, oh, hi, Ray, how are you? You know, like fluttering by. It's kind of neat. And so with Cliff, every time I'd say, you know, also when I would see a Cliff lookalike, because I would say, oh, hi, Cliff. Also, you know, it's just interesting. You know, I don't know why. I mean, it's just so because sometimes I feel that we are used just like the butterflies are messengers from spirit. You know, we don't even realize like we're like the butterflies and God can get a message through us, you know. Or actually, we do that up here. Duh. Okay. So when we get message bearing. So one morning in July, before I took a mediumship workshop, it was in Encinitas. I took this long walk in Swami's, and it was about I had a nice hour walk. You know, it was really, really nice and serene. And so I saw this security guard coming my way, and he looked like Cliff. And so in my head, it was another Cliff lookalike. So in my head, I'm going, oh, hi, Cliff. So, but really the words that came out were, of my mouth were, good morning. And he said, good morning. And so as he passed me, I saw this sign, and the sign read, Cliff areas are fragile. We appeal to all to keep away from the cliff edge and not to climb up or down the cliff. So it's like three times. And then isn't that amazing? That security guard was that security guard was used by God in the angel kingdom, and namely Cliff. For me to as a messenger from spirit, just like a butterfly would be a messenger in spirit too. So he uses us like butterflies too. It's kind of neat. So during that mediumship workshop, one of were you there at that one? Oh my goodness, this is Diane. She was there with a beautiful voice. She was and one of the you might not have heard this story. This is cool. Okay, so we had one of the first exercises was called a psychic exercise where we would read the sitter's auras, colors, and interpret their past, their present, and their future aspirations. And when I was done with the reading, a strong image came into my mind's eye through clairvoyance, because a lot of times I just see things as an artist. And so I saw, as clear as a bell, clear as a bell, I saw the gesture of the hand gesture going like this. So the hands were, the fingers were spread out, and they were forming a triangle right over this woman's heart area. And so after I, you know, gave her a reading, I said, you know what, I got to say this. This is the image that I see for you. They're giving that to me. And it was interesting because I had just seen somebody do that like the week before, but never gave it any thought. But that image was very strong in my head, so I gave it to her. Well, when we got back from lunch, this woman came out. Oh, my God, I got to show you this. Look at my phone here. Look at this picture. She goes, she went to this restaurant, and the mural on the wall had the sign of this on the hand. And so it's like it was validation for her and for me. And it was just kind of fun, you know. And so when blah, blah, blah. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to read. I want to get all the points here. So so when you go even deeper, the woman who I originally saw, oh, yeah, yeah, the woman that I originally saw do that gesture, she gave me a one-word reading, like weeks before. And her one-word reading was butterfly. Okay, so to me, this is just one example as to how we're all connected. I mean, it's like we're all one. We are all a part of God. And then taking this concept one step further, here's another example, or God's story, as we call it here. Those incredible synchronicities in our lives, which never cease to amaze me. I mean, you know me, I'm like full of God stories. I mean, you are too, but you just gotta, you know, tell me. So they only excite me. They get better and better. They excite me more and more. I mean, so then the more and more is revealed, the more that I get excited about it, the more God and the angels reveal to me. And it just like, it just keeps on coming and keeps on coming, because the more excited you get, the more open you get, the more they give you, the more you see, the more you're aware of, and it just goes on and on, and life just gets better and better. And I learned to say, this is just a suggestion, don't say, it doesn't get any better than this. Say, it just gets better and better. Because the universe will give you what you ask for, okay? Just to see if that works. It does for me. And so during the same workshop, one of the exercises was for the sitter to tell the medium the name of a person that you want to hear from in spirit, the relationship to the sitter, and a characteristic of that person that's in spirit. Okay, so I was the sitter, and so I said the name was Robin. He was a boyfriend about 35 years ago, and he was funny. Well, the medium gave me so much evidential proof. It was uncanny. But two of the things that she mentioned were a red car. She kept on going back to this red car, and that's what we tooled around with back in that day. And she kept on saying, real big, was this $5 bill. He keeps showing me this $5 bill. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I mean, 35 years ago, $5 bill. I mean, so he gave that as a tip to somebody. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I wish I got a tip like $5. You know, and it really stuck out in my head, because that was a lot of money to me at that time. And so it was something that just stuck with me. So he, you know, said $5 bill. So at the end of the day, I parked my car and I walked down to Moonlight Beach. And I'm on the phone. I'm talking with somebody on the phone, and I'm like, I stopped dead in my tracks because there was a red car, and underneath it, on the tire, was a $5 bill. And it totally got me out of my frame of mind that I was in and made me totally aware once again how connected we all are. Because then I got right down to the beach, totally had released everything, and then there were bubbles on the beach. I mean, huge bubbles on the beach, and it's like just total awe. The universe just kept on sending all these incredible things to help me shift, and it's just really, 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 really amazing. And so so at that time I had just released the 17th Monarch Butterfly, and so that's what I mean. If you look at our church, is just such a miracle, little miracle, because that's what these things are. And I didn't write it in here, but I wanted to say too that before I left for that workshop, because I said this in Sunday church, I had 17 of those caterpillars, but they were this big, and three of them will strip a whole plant like. And I'm like, I got 17 of them. What do? I need food for these guys because I'm going away for a week. My daughter's going to take care of these plants. So I go to Home Depot. I search everywhere. The one at Armstrong, it had aphids, like thousands of aphids. I'm like, I can't deal with aphids right now. And so I went, finally found the perfect, huge, bushy plants at Home Depot. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Too perfect. I put them all in the tents so there wouldn't be any flies. I was like, they're good. And I took every single caterpillar, put them in the tent on the thing. And within an hour, this is like on Saturday and I'm leaving Sunday, and all of them fell off, curled up, was spitting out green goo and green goo, and they just died an excruciatingly painful, poisonous death from the pesticides on the plants at Home Depot. So I had it first thing Sunday morning before I went there. I made a big stink at Home Depot because I'm like, you're selling these plants, and these plants are killing these caterpillars, and that's the only reason why you're selling these plants is to feed these caterpillars. And so I'm like, I can't believe it. And I made sure I washed them both sides back and forth before I gave it to them in case they put them back on the shelf, because that's what they probably were going to do. But I don't know. I need Turco files to figure that one out. So, you know, but it really, it made me think to go organic, because I'm thinking, if that's what they're doing for us, I mean, them, what are they doing for us, you know? And then that day on Sunday, Renee just so happened to have all this information, and just in case you want to go organic. And I'm like, wow, we're all connected. You know, it's like amazing. It really is just, life never ceases to amaze me. And then I call you up and you have more to tell me. It's love it. Anyway, so since we're a Christian spiritualist church, I wanted to quote, right? I think we are, yeah. Right? I wanted to quote a little something from the Bible. Here, actually, this is my favorite part in the Bible, and it's found in the Living Bible, Millie's favorite Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone may ask, how will the dead be brought back to life again? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question! You will find the answer in your own garden. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And when the green shoot comes up out of the seed, it's very different from the seed you first planted. For all you put into the ground is a dry little seed of wheat or whatever it is you are planting, then God gives it a beautiful new body. Just the kind he wants it to have. A different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. And just as there are different kinds of seeds and plants, so also there are different kinds of flesh. Humans, animals, fish, and birds are all different. The angels in heaven have bodies far different from ours, and the beauty and the glory of their bodies is different from the beauty and glory of ours. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars have another kind, and the stars differ from each other in their beauty and brightness. In the same way, our earthly bodies, which die and decay, are different from the bodies we shall have when we come back to life again, for they will never die. The bodies we have now embarrass us, for they become sick and they die, but they will be full of glory when we come back to life again. Yes, they are weak, dying bodies now, but when we live again, they will be full of strength. They are just human bodies at death, but when they come back to life, they will be superhuman bodies. For just as there are natural human bodies, there are also supernatural spiritual bodies. I think that's a pretty neat quote from that Bible. So as of today, okay, so as of that day, right, August 27th, I had released 91 butterflies. Okay, and 92 was expected to come out that day, didn't make it. It turned black, it died. You don't know what happens, you know. Plus, I have more caterpillars in the nursery, so I had a few more. And my goal is to raise the migration, like we raise the vibration, and release 100 monarch butterflies. Okay, because that's kind of like the 100th monkey theory. You guys ever look that up or put it into Wikipedia or whatever, the 100th monkey theory is really interesting, because that's kind of like when you start tipping the scales of evolution. And so that's my hope, is to really to help tip those scales, because the monarch butterflies are so important for us. And I also feel that I'm helping the spiritual connection with people like you and me who see them as a hello from the spirit world. And so one quick God story about the butterflies is when we were in Maui and I taught, and Stephanie, who some people may have remembered from Tuesday night class at Next to Million for 3 or 4 years, she now lives on Maui. She taught me how to connect with the island. And it's like, you know, you go to Hawaii, you're going to have a good time regardless, but duh, connect with the island and then ask it a question or ask them for, you know, to show me some of your magic or whatever. So as soon as I grounded myself, connected myself, pulled my energy over here and asked Maui, full on body chills. And I asked Maui, do you have any monarch butterflies? Really? Okay. That day, my family and I we all went to the beach. Emily, my daughter, was laying on the beach, on the sand on the beach, and a monarch butterfly whooshes over her. And then as we were walking to the car in the parking lot, a monarch butterfly goes right into Mike's face. And then as we're going towards the car, right on the sidewalk, I would have stepped on it if I wasn't looking down on the sidewalk, another monarch butterfly. And so it just shows you how, again, we're all connected and life is just amazing when you just really think about it. And so with sincere gratitude and appreciation, I'm going to leave you with this quote. And it's from one of the most revered Chinese Zen master. His name was Xuanzi. And once upon a time, I dreamt I was a butterfly, fluttering hither and thither, to all intents and purposes, a butterfly. I was conscious only of my happiness as a butterfly, unaware that I was myself, Xuanzi. Soon I awakened, and there I was, veritably myself again. Now I do not know whether I was then a man dreaming I was a butterfly, or whether I am now a butterfly dreaming I am a man. Between me and the butterfly, there must be a difference. This is an instance of transformation. Now, I'm going to leave you with that, because I had something else that I should say, I was going to say, but it's not here. Or I can find it. Want me to say one last thing, or that's it? I can leave it. I'll leave it. Okay.